It's straight out of Bronx. It's your boy Chi Ali, and I'm with the Odd Man on Maximum FM Hip Hop. I'm down with the Kings, y'all. The best show out there.
Turn up the bass.
You're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
Back, we are here on Down with the Kings. It's the Odd Man. And we are keeping it live, banging them classic hip-hop joints from back in the day. And we're going to take a pause in the music and throw to our next guest, our featured guest, rather, who I'm really excited about. You know, not many artists can say they broke in at the age of 14 and made it big. That's what my next artist can boast. He is none other than Chi Ali. Chi, what's happening, man?
Peace. What's good? You all right? What's going on?
I'm great. Great, and again, appreciate you rolling through and taking some time and chatting. It's good to get caught up with you. Again, coming at the age of 14, I'm curious, how much of that do you actually remember? It's so long ago now.
Yeah, it's been a while, but actually, I think a lot of it is pretty vivid. I'm sure it's a lot of moments that I probably don't remember that some other people that experienced it might. But for the most part, I think I kind of got the whole experience on cap for the most part. Although, it's my opinion. In my opinion, a lot of times me and my dad talk about a lot of the old times, and we have two really different views of it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not accurate. I don't know.
Well, you know, they say, you know, there's two sides of a story. Your version of my story, right? So your version of mine. Well, you know, oftentimes wondered when you come in at such a young age, how much of appreciation do you have for the moment? Because it is big when you talk about, you know, being around some of the artists you were around and being able to do the things that you did at such a young age. How much of that, you know, do you appreciate really at that time?
I mean, I think me personally, I appreciated being around a lot of the artists that I looked up to growing up, you know, coming home from school, watching Video Soul and Rap City and Video Music Box. Of course, the Big Daddy Kane, the KRS-Ones, and, you know, Tribe Called Quest, and the list goes on. Those are dudes that I grew up watching, so when I was amongst them and looked at it as a peer, it was a great feeling. However, being so young and coming up in it, I do think I took a lot of it for granted, only because it was all I knew. So it wasn't really a big deal to me. It was like, you know, from 11, 12 years old, time I really came out the house, I was around Red Alert, the Jungle Brothers, Tribe, Black Sheep, and, wow, you know, a lot of the artists who were very prominent at that time. So it was just something I took for granted, and I'm upset now because it's like, yo, those are times that, you know, were memories. Those are that's history.
Right. Oh, yeah, it totally is, right? But, I mean, the reality is, you know, 14, what do you know? Like, you don't think that way at the age of 14. You still want to, you know, do things 14-year-olds do. Now, granted, 14-year-olds today are doing things very different than when we were 14 years old, but nonetheless, you're still a kid, right? What do you know?
That's a fact. At that time, I didn't care about money. I just told Chris Lighty, baby Chris, rest in peace. I just told Chris, where'd we shoot the video? That's what all I cared about, shooting the video. But being so young, the cool part is being so young, you don't focus on the money part as much. So a lot of stuff is more, you know, just from the heart, just being a kid and you know, just going with the flow. Whereas, you know, once you get older, the dynamics of the financial aspect of the business, they take precedence because you're smarter and you go on, you get jerked around so much, that's like your main focus.
Right. How much of that did you understand? Like, when we talk about the business side of things?
I think my dad was managing me, and being that I was under 16 when I signed the contract, everything had to go through a court. And basically, when you're a minor and the contracts go through the courts are basically looking out for the minor's best interest. So,
sure,
it's more or less, the courts are there to make sure you don't get jerked too much. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
They try to keep it fair. And then, but my dad was a part of the whole process, so he used to explain everything to me. And,
gotcha,
you know, I understood it, but a part of me, when it came to negotiation, would always be like, well, don't blow the deal. Don't blow this. Don't blow that. And that's not a good negotiating tactic when you're going in with that mind state. And that's why I was omitted from many of the meetings.
Gotcha. I hear you. Like I said, if I was 14 back then, I wouldn't care. I'm like, whatever. Let me know what I'm supposed to do, whatever. So, I mean, I get it. Loud and clear. You know, I think it's important to sort of talk about how you broke into the industry. You know, I know you had a lot of help, but for our listening audience, is saying, you know, how does the age of 14, when there's no YouTube or social media to get yourself out there and people know who you are, what you can do, how did you do it?
Honestly, I think it was just right place at the right time. I think that was what was in the cards for me, because I'm from the Bronx, from Co-op City in the Bronx, and Queen Latifah, it was a summer, I guess you're talking late 80s, when her dancers, who actually were from Co-op City as well, she was living with her dancers, like, for that whole summer. So I used to just see them in the neighborhood and be around. You know, everybody knew me. You know, it was like our neighborhood, the block, everybody more or less knew each other. So I just was like the cute kid who was just always around. Like, I used to, when she would go to the supermarket, I just was like, yo, what's up, what you doing? She'd be like, you coming with me? I'd be like, yeah, let's go. And we just vibe. And from that, she introduced me to Shaquem and Chris Lighty, Baby Chris. And I really latched on with both of them. It was like, even though the bond was with Latifah, Shaquem and Chris were guys. So, you know, it would be a lot of times when, you know, her and her dancers, they were, you know, doing the girl things. And I'd be with Chris and Shaq. And they were basically showing me the ropes, more or less. And, I mean, no one knew I rapped. I didn't even know I rapped. One night I had with Chris and the Jungle Brothers to a show at the Apollo Theater. And Africa, the Jungle Brothers had missed a flight in London. So I was like, yo, let me perform with y'all. I told Mike G and Sammy B that, and they was like, all right, you're not going to be scared? I was like, nah. And they let me rock with them, and I did my thing. And at the time, Chris was in negotiations with his Violator imprint at Relativity Records. And after I rocked that show at the Apollo, when I came off the stage, he was like, yo, you got more rhymes? I was like, yeah. He was like, I'm gonna sign you. I was like, and as they say, the book is history.
Wow. Wow, that certainly is experience. You know, the one thing I thought was really big is, you know, at that time, the whole Native Tongues movement, when you talk about a collection of artists and, you know, really some of the best at that time coming together, to be influenced by them, it had to be a phenomenal experience for you.
Definitely. I mean, growing up, I idolized them. Jungle Brothers, Tribe, Daylight, Black Sheep, Beat Nuts, you really gonna, you know, tell me anything bad about them guys? I grew up, I wanted to be like them, I emulated them from my style, the way I dressed, everything. So, you know, those were like my big brothers in the industry.
Right. What, if you could identify, you know, one or sort of two sort of memorable lessons they taught that, you know, you learned from them, what would that be, and who taught it to you?
Definitely Dredge from Black Sheep. Dredge and Long, I mean, I used to go on tour with them a lot and be on the road with them a lot. So, I mean, it's so many lessons from, I mean, one of my biggest lessons, it has to deal with more with relationships. My man Big F, who was actually Black Sheep's road manager. But Big F, you know, he's a big guy, but a handsome dude, you know, nice looking guy, light skinned fella. Big F had all the ladies on him, but Big F never cheated on his wife. I'm talking about every city you could think of in the country, all type of pretty women coming at him, throwing panties. And just that discipline showed me a lot and taught me a lot. And I always, you know, admired and respected him, because I don't know too many guys who have the discipline to do that, you know?
Right. Especially that kind of temptation.
Definitely. I mean, the temptation is crazy. And just, you know, hanging around Drez is one who's always got a pad in his back pocket. Always just, you know, doing something to try to master his craft. And that's the key to it. And I think it shows so much when he performs, when he's in the studio. Just the comfortability level is so high. And I think when you're comfortable and confident, that's what makes the difference from the great artists and the artists who probably don't make it.
Right. You talked about Drez. How often people say you guys are brothers or looked alike? Man? How did you get that?
Whenever me and Drez are together, we always hit up. I was actually at my pool last week with my dad, and my dad was talking to another gentleman that was at the pool, and the gentleman recognized me, and he was telling my dad, "How's his brother doing?" And my dad's like, nah, that's not his brother. And the guy's telling my dad, nah, I think you're mistaken. That's his brother. My dad's like, nah, I think I know this one. You know, so that's definitely the number one question Drez and I ask.
Right. Do you see the resemblance or what?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I guess I see it. I know his, we've been going back years. Everybody used to say, when I met Drez's mom, I guess I was probably about 12 or 13. His mother said, holy shit, y'all do look alike. I got to see, make sure you got my stuff. So, we hear it all the time. But
right.
I think I did. You know, we both got the curly hair, you know, brown yeah. skin. You know, I get it.
Right. Did you guys have fun with it anyway? Did you, you know, go with it and...
I know back in the days, like, whenever people asked, we never said no. We wouldn't lie and say, yeah.
Right.
We would just, you know, dance around the question or joke around the question where people more or less, we left it up to them to assume. Just, Drez used to always tell me, as long as they're wondering and curious and asking and, you know, you on their mind talking about
right.
you. So,
that's it.
He was like, that's a good thing.
That's a great way of looking at that. I want to keep on the topic of Drez because I know he meant a lot to you, and I know and we'll also sort of touch on it at one point where you're incarcerated. I've heard you speak or mention how supportive Drez was of you during that time. Can you kind of give our listeners an idea of sort of what that relationship between you and Drez is like?
I mean, Drez and I—that's like my brother. I mean, it's not like, when I call Drez, if I need something, it's basically, I'm just calling to figure out when. You know, it's not like I'm really asking, especially if it's music related. You know, if he can do it, he's going to do it. And vice versa, it's like, that's fair. Like, it's like if you was really dealing with your brother or your best friend with, it's just like, it's second nature. That's your dog.
It seemed to be naturally. So, I mean, I think it's funny. I mean, you, not only you look alike, you develop this strong bond with one another, and that's big if you ask me, because it doesn't happen often that you find people like that.
Right. I mean, you got to remember, Drez and I started recording together. I mean, I started hanging around the studio when they were recording their first album. And you're talking about when I was probably 12 years old. So, from before I was, you know, actually probably busting nuts, you know what I mean? Before
right,
my voice changed, I was around him and under his tutelage, so it was like, I'm sure he looked at me like a little brother, and it just shows. I mean, it's natural. It's like, even like Drez and my relationship with Mike Thorne is real similar. It's like, that's just my bro. It's like, it's nothing to talk about. We don't got to see each other for 2-3 years. When we see each other, it's love. Like, and the thing I like best is not petty, like there's no pettiness in the relationship. It's like,
right.
They ask me to come to a show with them and I can't make it. Even if I say, yo, I'll be there, I might have forgot or couldn't make it. It's not ever, you know, no funny style shit. Oh, you know, like that would be the last thing from his mind, and that would be the last thing on my mind for missing it. And vice versa, like if Drez didn't come through for whatever reason, I don't care if he fell asleep. Like, I wouldn't hold a grudge. Like, my bro was tired, I guess, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I know, you know, when I need him, he's there, and vice versa.
Right. No, that's important to have. Let's sort of touch on you know, early 2000 when things changed for you and your life, quite frankly, when you're subsequently incarcerated for manslaughter. I mean, I'm not really so much interested in the details around that, but certainly where that put you mentally when the reality came that you were going to be incarcerated.
I mean, mentally, it was definitely a life-altering experience. first of all, I want to definitely, you know, send my condolences and apologies to the victim's family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that was when I turned into, I think I went from an old boy to a young man around that time. You know, not necessarily maturity-wise, but just, like, the game got real for me. Life became a real event for me where I had to make real decisions and decisions that were going to affect the rest of my life. I think I changed a lot because it turned me, I think I was more of an innocent person. You know, I think I still got a good heart, but just the whole experience of being on a run and being incarcerated for all that time, I think it'll snatch away anybody's innocence. And just the attitude and the demeanor you have to have to survive while incarcerated is a very aggressive attitude. It's not conducive to just being a social person, a nice and social person. You just have to be a little gritty and on edge when in there for your survival and for your best interest.
Mm-hmm. And you look at the contrast between, you know, sort of the life you're leading in your early teens, hanging with, you know, your idols, to now you're in this situation. It's such a stark contrast between the two.
That's for sure. I mean, you're going from riches to rags. I mean,
right.
So growing up I remember a little before I got into the trouble, we were all in the Hamptons at Puff's house and, you know, barbecuing and, you know, everybody's there from Nia Long to Russell Simmons, Andre Harrell. So to be amongst that and then probably a year later, you know, you're living in the quarters probably the size of half of the bathroom in Puff's house. It's quite a climate change.
Right. You spoke to being on the run. I mean, you know, When you saw yourself on America's Most Wanted, what were you thinking? That must have been frightening.
When I seen that, my whole thing was like, damn, like, I'm finished. Like, I thought, like, when I got locked up, like, I was like, yo, you're never going to be free again. Like,
right.
I mean, and it wasn't the situation. I mean, I never would try to downplay the severity of the situation because I took a life. However, you know, most of the time when you think of America's Most Wanted, you think of, like, serial killers or,
right,
like, a notorious gang running around. I mean, I just felt like it was a horrific crime. However, it was common in urban neighborhoods. It was a crime common in urban neighborhoods. So I just felt like they blew it a little out of proportion because of the whole rap, hip-hop thing. And, but, you know, you live and you learn, and you got to take the good with the bad. I mean, hip-hop has given me a life that's brought many smiles. And, you know, that's one of the downsides. Some, you know, people scrutinize you a little more when you're a hip-hop artist in a negative fashion. So you got to take the good with the bad.
Right. I mean, a part of you must have just felt like, I don't belong here. This isn't where I'm supposed to be, like, at all.
Right. That's a fact. I mean, and it's... Hello, especially when you start, when you're watching videos and it's like, these are good dudes you not only do you know, but as the years pass and you watching videos, a lot of times you watching dudes who you know looked up to you and who wanted to emulate you. So when they start coming up, it's like, yo, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, yo, I remember Shorty. You know, like I remember 56, always, you know, grinding, trying to get right. And he actually popped when I was locked up on Rikers Island, and it was just ill to see, like, the dude was trying to get on to now, like, homies at the top. Like, you know what I mean? It was just ill to watch his development, his growth, and his succession.
Yeah. No doubt about that. And, to watch that development is crazy, and it makes you kind of think, like, if you ever wondered where would I have been if this situation didn't happen to me?
All the time. I mean, every day. I mean, that's like one of the things. I guess everybody goes through that at some point. if I would have did this and that. I mean, it could be something as simple as, damn, if I would have turned left and not right, I might have missed the accident that killed somebody. So you're always going to think like that. But, no, that's why you got to weigh out your options and think about shit before you make the decision to do it. Because I think if we really looked at the good and bad of every situation and really weighed out the bad, we may not do a lot of the things we do, but we so caught up on not getting caught, and especially when you've never been incarcerated.
Right.
Getting caught going to prison is one of the last things on your mind because you've never experienced it, so you can't really fathom it. I mean, you hear about it, you know it's real, but you can't really imagine them putting cuffs on you and putting you in the cell and telling you you're not going nowhere for 10 years.
No, I hear you. I hear a lot.
I mean, I think if everybody looked at it like that, I don't think a lot of people would do a lot of the things they did.
True.
You know?
True. Yeah, no, I think you're right, and it kind of sounds like it. You sort of not only just learn from that or try to help people where you can in terms of making right conscious choices.
Definitely. I mean, as young people, we make sporadic decisions, emotional decisions, and it's just like we're young, we're growing up. But sometimes when those decisions affect other people, and when you make those decisions on the streets of America, you got to answer to other people, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even if you don't hurt anybody off times, you got to answer to other people when you out here on these streets of the United States.
Got you. Hey, we're talking about your career and all that you've done. I think this is a great opportunity to throw to one of your songs from back in the day. I think we're going to go Funky Lemonade. How do you feel about that one? Funky Lemonade sounds good?
Let's put it. Let's rock and roll, baby. Let's get it.
All right, you sure you don't want to sing? I mean, I know you mentioned singing. You don't want to?
Man, not yet. I got to come to the performance. Yeah, but let's get into it. Let's get into that Funky Lemonade. See y'all each and y'all vintage.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. It's the fabulous Chiali coming at you with something new. You know what I'm saying? We call this one Funky Lemonade.
Funky Lemonade was a popular drink.
Taste of the lemon, lima, rhymer, anchor, mac, a frack, a lacquer, ripping tracks like a tractor, rap reactor with more than a bionic man. I'm blowing up as if I was atomic. No gold on my caps when I rap, so when I'm stunting, cause you know and I know ain't no future in fronting or faking when you're funkin'. Flunky, yeah, flunk it. Bring me along, cause you're bomb like Jim Plunkett. I get top buck, chuck, chill, I'm greater. I drop more flavor than the sun drops right on the equator, and I squeeze the lemon or this water flowing verse. So run and get your cup, cause I know you're thirst.
Lemonade was a popular drink, man.
I go splish, splash, I'm swimming, a lemon to a lime, and I rhyme for the women. I blow like Hugo Boss, I'm frosty, my name is Chiali, not Chris, don't cross me over. Yes, my head with airplane, no, cause if it ain't rough, it ain't wreck. Yes, Kato, and the S to the H with the A. Peace be on to the brothers in the O. Peachy is fat. Run and tell your neighbor. I even got a taste test so you can catch the flavor. So get a sip, get a zip, get a guzzle. Simple, no puzzle, props or a muzzle. Now swallow D and Rallo, rockin' the Apollo. Freaks follow D, demo back to my limo. Now honey, let me inject you with some liquid soul. And oh, oops, I'm sorry, wrong hole. Now money, check your bunny, cause honey be addressing me with her eyes and I advise you don't be stressing me. Stress, I get enough, ain't that the truth? As a time to get poof, me get poof, me get poof. You need proof, get brandy. I'm no Yankee, but when I doodle, how damn it, it's a dandy. A real Bronx bomber. I run with the Legion and we blast with the big timer. No comma, a period, an exclamation point. My limit ain't, it's the joint, check it.
Lemonade was a popular drink and it's chillin'. Lemonade was a popular drink and it's chillin'. Lemonade was a popular drink.
Abracadabra, I flow like Niagara Falls. I take none, you diss me, you got balls. But I got a bat for all of that, so what are you, dents? Holy cow, another sucker clears the fence like Attila. Hun, it gets no iller, you're jockin', I'm locking shit up like Ronnie Miller. I got Big Benji like Hanky, got Panky. Pulled all up on my bumper, then spank Spanky. But don't thank me,
that's the way I make a living, G. Because the pop life is not for me. So color me TikTok, I'm bad, I'm toxic. Color me pay past the mic and I'll rock. Shift gears, I'm about to merch, squirt, merch. Get over like a rat, cause I'm fat like Levert. So when you're just cooling or fooling in a shade, don't forget that funky lemonade.
Lemonade was a popular drink and it still is.
Down with King. This yard man, you heard Funky Lemonade by my guest, Chi Alley, in the house. When Chi, when you hear that song, what kind of memories do you have about that song?
Probably just shooting the video, and like when we did the original remix, you know, around that time my voice was just changing. So when we did the remix, you know, it was one of the first songs I did sounding a little more like an adult. So it was. It was a new sound, but it was something that I was, like, just glad, because, you know, I was tired of sounding like a little kid, you know, with a little squeaky voice. So definitely it was me coming into myself, my manhood.
I see. Yeah, it's important. Hey, it's a big step when you get to the manhood stage. I get you. When you kind of think back to your mindset then, and obviously, you know, it's easy to look back and go, man, I would have known. But do you think you, and I'm clear, it's clear that you've learned and developed your experience that helped with that. But do you think you knew enough back then or had the wherewithal to understand what was going on?
Definitely not. I don't think I had almost had a clue. Especially looking back now, hell no, I didn't know nothing. I don't think the bulk of us knew anything, though.
Right.
You know? I don't think the bulk of us knew anything. I mean, I know if you take all the artists from back then, I'm sure everybody can tell you stories of how they'd be $2-3 million richer, man.
Right.
You know, but it's part of the growing pains. You live and you learn, man.
Gotcha.
Live and you learn.
Gotcha. The decision to get back into music after your release, was that something you knew you were going to do, or what was that? That was that thought process like?
Nah, I mean, it was something that was always on my mind. Like, I always told myself, you know, if the opportunity presented itself to be ready and be prepared. However, that was really not on the front burners of on my things to do list. However, when I got released, Chris Lighty had, his death came a day or two after my release, and had his services bumped into Fat Joe, and Joe was like, yo, when you came home, and I'm like, yo, I just came home, and he was like, yo, he took me down to Miami with him, and we shot a video, he started shooting a video with French and Lil Wayne, and after the video that night, we went in the studio, and that's that. Mm. That's how I really got going. And from then, I was just like, well, maybe this is time. Maybe I need to be doing it like this, what I need to do, you know?
What's the general reception for you like when you say, hey, I'm back? What's it been like?
I mean, it's been love. Everyone from old artists to new artists, everyone shows love, man. And that's a great feeling because, you know, I love rap. I love hip-hop. I'm really a fan of damn near everyone, you know, whether I like you as a person, I love you, I love your music if I like some of the music. And,
right.
You know, I don't let personal feelings get involved with that. But even on a personal level, like, I'm great with everybody, to my knowledge. So, you know, it's love, and I'm just enjoying my freedom, enjoying being around my fellow entertainers, man. I'm just living life, enjoying life, bro.
Nice. Well, it certainly sounds like it, and I said before, I'll say again, it certainly sounds like you've gained a lot of insight and a lot from your experience, and you really made it work for you in a positive way. So, I mean, shout out and congrats, man, because that's a big step to make for you, and the fact that you can stand at this stage and look back and go, okay, I made it, and now let's move forward. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm proud I got through it. You know, it's not something that I'm proud of, and I don't wear prison as a badge of honor or anything.
Right.
But however, it was a hurdle that was extremely, extremely high. You know, I made the jump, and I'm just happy I got through it. And, you know, it made me who I am today, and I feel like today I'm a better person than I was yesterday, so that's a good thing, man.
Great. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Well, we're happy that you took the time to hang out with us here on Down with the Kings. You want to just let our listeners know if they want to connect with you or where they can find you or what you got on tap in terms of music, because you're working. So what you got lined up?
We got this book lined up. I wrote an autobiography, and we're working on getting that published. So that's the main thing we got lined up.
Okay.
Then I'm doing, you know, my public speaking. I'm working with a lot of activists with different prison coalitions. So we just got the music and the work. We're trying to get back into the acting. We're doing everything. We're trying to rock and roll.
We love it. Well, listen, Shelly, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you being down with the Kings. To our listeners, we'll be right back.
Old school, new school, and true school on Maximum FM Hip Hop.